Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today, we're going to be once again looking into some strange and odd park ranger stories. These ones are a bit weirder than normal, so definitely be prepared for a wild ride. Before we get into the video, I must say that I just moved and I am in my new studio. There's not everything that needs to be here quite yet. It's a little empty, so if it's kind of echoey, I apologize. And if the mic isn't as great as usual, I also apologize too. I'm not using my preferred setup at the moment. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a park ranger tale or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's continue into these creepy, strange, and downright spine-chilling park ranger stories. I'm going to get right into it, and say when we found a body in the park, it wasn't what we expected to find. Now, every now and again, you're prone to find a body dumped in a park. I'm not saying it's the most common thing in the world, but when you're working around the state, particularly in bigger parks, these things do tend to happen. The body wasn't the strangest part of any of this, though. It was the fact that there appeared to be no reason for it. Now, allow me to elaborate. When the body was found, there were no marks on it whatsoever. There appeared to be no puncture wounds that would denote a drug overdose. No marks that indicated a fight. No bites from animals. Nothing. The most disturbing part of all of this, the smile. The woman's body we found wore a large smile. It almost seemed unnatural. That certainly isn't normal, and after some time, an autopsy was done and the cause of death was found to be unknown. That's right, they couldn't find a reason, not even by natural causes. It's as though the woman just laid down and passed away, leaving a messed up smile on her face as she did. That's impossible though, right? No one can simply will themselves to death, right? Things get stranger from here though. A few weeks after the first body, a second body was found. The circumstances were seemingly similar. A body, a smile, and no seeming cause. Fast forward a bit and it comes out that this seemingly young, healthy man had the organs of someone nearing their hundreds. If you can't wrap your head around that, no worries. I'm still unable to make any sense of this strange happening myself. How does one have a seemingly healthy body, but their internal organs show that they are well beyond the age they appear? Curious, we started looking deeper into the area. Everything seemed fine. We'd had these parks open with no problem for decades. When we had seen no other deaths for a few months, we had become a bit more comfortable. Parkgoers were at ease, and we were confident that we'd seen the worst of things. It was sometime around mid-February when we would be proven wrong. One of our very own complained of being sick. They were having breathing problems, feeling dizzy, and were having some significant trouble hearing, among other symptoms. We took the employee to the hospital, and they ran several tests which seemed to indicate their organs were perfectly fine. They weren't sure why they were feeling how they were, but they recommended they rest for the next few days, A couple of days went by, and the same worker we'd given a couple of days off now came into work with their hair completely gray. I'm not talking dyed gray. I'm talking almost completely white, as if they were ancient. Needless to say, she was more than a little freaked out, as were we. I sat her down and asked her about it. She explained she woke up one morning and it was like this. That said, nothing else seemed off and she was feeling better, so she wanted to continue work. We allowed it, but we watched her for a time, just to be safe. It was about May when things got truly strange. On a more personal level, there had been no more reported deaths and no strange sickness of any kind around the park. The whole thing was strange, yes, but we were grateful for some quiet. I had to work late, but I sent most everyone else home. I wasn't going to be doing anything crazy, just had some paperwork to take care of. So long story short, everyone went home while I stayed in the office and did some filing and finished some paperwork I'd been putting off, as I hate paperwork. I was the only person in the station at the time this happened. I was working on my paperwork when suddenly the lights in the entire place began acting up. At first, it was a small flicker. That was followed by a sudden large surge of power and the lights going off and on. Eventually, they seemed to shut off completely. It was probably about 7 or 8, so there was still light coming in from the window, but it was waning quickly. I went ahead and checked the fuse box. Everything had been tripped. I checked to make sure nothing was wrong before flipping everything back on, and just like that, I had lights again. Sitting back down, I continued my paperwork for a couple of hours before the lights went out again. I was about to get up and check things when I heard a call for help. I will admit, it was a little strange, but I figured I'd call out to see if I could determine where it was coming from, as I thought it was rather a faint sound. I called out, and then I heard screaming. Now, to describe the screaming would be to say it was pained. Though whoever was screaming were doing so from a semi-soundproof room or even the underwater. We don't have a lake anywhere near us, so that's really weird. I know it wasn't anyone in a lake. Still, I was perplexed and slightly unnerved, and as such, I tried to find the source of the screaming. I was eventually led to the front door of the station. I walked slowly toward the door and put my ear to it. It almost sounded as though the sound was coming from the other side of the door. As I looked out the windows, though, I saw no one at the door, still putting my ear back to the door itself. I found that the screaming was indeed there, albeit muffled. I wasn't afraid at this point, or at least downright terrified or anything, but I did feel an unsettling feeling in my stomach. The kind you get when you're on the verge of being slightly nauseous. Almost like you know something isn't right with your body, but you haven't gotten completely sick or miserable enough as of yet to determine what the problem will ultimately be. Figuring there was only one way to determine the source of the mysterious sound, I decided to put my ear to the door again and listen. It was definitely still there despite the fact that my eyes told me different just moments before. I took a deep breath and opened the door. Upon opening it, I felt an unusually warm wind. It was May, yes, but this was more like a midsummer heat, and stepping outside, everything seemed to almost slow down. As I stared around the station, I remember seeing what looked to be pollen floating through the air. I could still hear the screams, but they were becoming more drowned out by a strange, almost underwater sound. I clearly wasn't in the water. But the sound was distorted in such a way that everything seemed to be coming through in the same sound as if you were underwater. I walked forward, and that's when I noticed my movements were slower. It seemed as though time and also myself were barely moving. It wasn't long after that I began to feel extremely hot. I could hear faintly, see the outlines and silhouettes of people, but I couldn't make out who they were. Things became very bright. Bright enough that I had to close my eyes, but even then, it was bright. Too bright. I heard a voice calling my name, and then suddenly I was awake, feverish, and laying in a hospital bed. There were doctors and nurses standing around me, who looked very concerned. I was confused and asked what was going on. They explained I had a 104 fever and had flatlined not too long prior. They weren't sure what had happened, but they had found me lying on the ground at the park by a jogger. They got me an ambulance, and long story short, I had been in the hospital for 2 weeks. I had been there for 2 weeks and had been unconscious until very recently. I was in shock. I could have sworn I had just been at the station, and it took me quite a while to even believe I'd been in the hospital at all, much less for 2 weeks. I thought I was dreaming, and I kept waiting to wake up, but I never did. In the time I'd been in the hospital, I'd had every test known to man done on me. Ultimately, they weren't sure what was wrong with me. The thing is I'd been sick, but no test showed any signs of actual sickness, even when I was in a comatose. The doctors had no real explanation for any of it, and I even had fewer answers. I spent another month fully recovering from my supposed sickness, and I eventually went back to work. Since that day, I've never had another problem, and we've never had another problem at the park itself, with deaths or sickness under such strange and mysterious circumstances. I didn't appear to have any major aging signs, but something strange did happen out there. I'm not sure how to explain that strange thing or why it happened. I'm even less inclined to understand why all the strange occurrences stopped 10-plus years ago. I only know there are things out there for which we will never be able to explain. I work with the Washington State Park Rangers. I'm a male and about 40 now, but I was 25 when these strange happenings occurred. What happenings, you might ask? Well, it started pretty simply. I and a few of my coworkers had been told there were sightings of strange things going on in the woods of our parks. Sometimes it was tales of people believing that they saw a Bigfoot or something. Other times, people swore it was aliens or ghosts. It was the usual tales, and these tales have been passed on for generations. There was always something strange going on out there, according to the locals. Now, I'm not one to demean people with such stories. I don't intend to with my story. I simply state the things I state with some sarcasm, as at the time of this story and leading up to it, I was a major skeptic. If you told me about it, I'd come up with all sorts of theories and natural explanations as to why this story was not true. Usually, I could completely explain away just about any occurrence you could throw at me. Strange flickering lights, well, you clearly have an electrical issue. Seeing ghosts, what'd you put in those brownies you were eating there, son? Aliens, probably just the military doing some sort of experimental flight test. Zombies, bath salts more likely. Anyway, you get my point. I wasn't exactly a believer in much of anything supernatural or out of the ordinary. I've always found our world has fascinating and unexplained mysteries. Sure, but they all have an explanation, and even if they haven't been found yet, with logic, you can solve almost anything, eventually. So being the stubborn skeptic I was, my colleagues got together one October and thought it would be a great idea to have a little wager of sorts. We'd all get together and investigate the parks at night. We'd look for any and all manner of things unexplained or supernatural, and attempt to prove or disprove it. Now, in order to do this, we had to note any of the strange happenings around from our lovely locals. On top of that, we had to make a point to collect any strange experiences that had occurred to them, be it day or night when it happened. We took down all manner of things that sounded absolutely insane, but we kept professional and took it seriously. We had all kinds of strange occurrences. Ghosts supposedly roamed our parks. Bigfoot was definitely out there and he kept taunting our local herb man. Herb man, or men, when speaking of many, was what we jokingly called those we knew were very pro-weed and did quite a bit of it. The list went on for quite a bit and was every bit as amusing as it was creepy. Now, all that aside, what happened during the month is something even my skeptical butt can't explain to this day. Our first night of investigation wasn't all that interesting or entertaining. I think some of us, yes, more than just myself, were taking this as a fun activity that would lead to nothing. The first night, it was just that. The second night, though, was a bit weirder. On the second night, while looking for proof of Bigfoot, we caught strange crying on a recording. Now, normally I'd have dismissed this as some kind of animal or audio interference in the woods, but this was also something a few of the other rangers reported hearing while out and about. We searched the area as the crying was happening. It sounded like what you would hear from a baby. Obviously, we didn't want some baby out there, abandoned or otherwise, crying without knowing the cause or being able to help, so we spent much of the night searching for the source. We never found it. This was compounded by the fact that, as we searched for it, more than a few times it would get louder, and after rushing to find the source, it'd vanish and begin farther away. While everyone was perplexed, I still wasn't entirely convinced there wasn't someone out there messing with me and my team. I mean, it definitely wasn't some crying, super fast, or teleporting baby. So that made the most sense. The third night, we made a point of making sure the area was well equipped, monitored, and even blocked off to the best of our ability, as we wanted no pranksters to mess with us during our investigation. We went as far as to set up cameras in some of the trees or under certain rocks to monitor the area and catch anything we couldn't. It was late in the night. I'm sorry I don't remember exactly what time it was, as it's been quite a while since these experiences, when we heard that same crying again. It was the sound of a baby, and it was clear and distinct. Concerned something may actually be wrong, also irked someone might still be trying to mess with us, we decided to attack the sound from multiple directions. It was during this time that we all came upon the source from multiple directions. The problem was, when we got there, everything was quiet. There was no crying, no sounds outside of nature, and no one could have been messing with us at this point. We searched high and low for a device of some kind, a mic or anything, but we never turned up anything of significance. The next day we checked out all of the footage, it was a Friday, and we turned up the sound, but nothing. The thing is, the sound would move, it would appear to jump from place to place, but no one could hear anything from the sound. Nothing was physically seen, and nothing was caught on the cameras. Figuring the weekend was coming up and intrigued by this mystery, we decided to spend the weekend camping in the park. We kept the area we had been searching cordoned off, but it was also an area people weren't really using for camping anyway. Most of those areas were further out, and the noises we had been hearing seemed to be coming from the general area we had been searching anyway. Friday night, nothing happened. Saturday night, all was quiet. Sunday, we all decided to go home, get some rest, but keep everything running overnight, just in case. Monday morning when we came in, we found the crying to be happening again. The sound on several occasions would appear in one area before going silent, and seconds later, the crying would pick up in a completely different area on the other side of the park from the first crying noise. I will admit, at this point I was intrigued and also at a loss for an explanation of any of this. Now, Halloween was approaching, and as such, we would soon need to get the park ready for a celebration we were going to be having. So, we really only had another night or two to be able to set up properly and research what was happening. Deciding we couldn't do these things Monday because of schedules outside of work being fairly busy, we all decided to meet up the next day for a final push at figuring out what was going on in the park. Tuesday morning, we come in to find the same noise again. Even stranger, this noise was heard in our own station at one point. No one has ever seen anything on camera, but the noise was definitely there. We kept our station monitored at all times, and we do have sound to our security feed. Anyway, we were all excited for the night to come. I'll admit, I was even more excited than I should have been, and probably the most excited I've been in quite a while over anything strange or mysterious. I still believe there would be some kind of logical explanation, but I hoped we would discover it and be able to ease our curiosity and solve the mystery. Tuesday night came, and with it came the sound of a crying baby. We spent most of the night searching the area, but I had stayed behind in the station as we heard the strange phenomena there as well. The sound kept disappearing until I heard it in a room with me. It was very clear, very distinct, and I felt something in the room. I remember how cold things got, and I remember turning around slowly as my hairs were standing on end. The sound was so distinct it was as though I could hear it right from behind me. I felt a cold sort of breath and I heard a woman's voice. "Help us," she said. I turned, and to my shock, there was a woman dressed in a black dress that didn't appear to be anything from this time period. It looked like something straight out of the 1920s. She had a baby swaddled in her arms and she looked just like you or me. She didn't seem to be translucent. I remember stuttering and stammering. I wanted to ask her how it could help, but all I could get out was the stammering. I couldn't get words out. She asked if I knew of any way to quiet her baby. She seemed desperate and began to cry herself. She kept holding and rocking the baby, but it wouldn't stop crying. Then, just like that, the woman and baby vanished before my eyes. I didn't know how to react, and I remember sitting down, perplexed for what seemed like hours before I heard a knocking at the door that shot me off my seat. It was then I heard one of my coworkers asking to be let in. I had forgotten I had locked the door. I let them in and tried to explain to all of them what I witnessed. I remember their hesitation to believe me, but at first, they felt like I was messing with them. Then we reviewed the footage, and to my shock, the voice of the woman and crying were there, but they weren't visibly seen on camera. The entire crew looked around perplexed at one another before deciding to call it a night. Since this incident, we've done some research looking for this woman, but we found nothing. I'm not sure how to explain this moment, or the series of odd events that we experienced over that month. For once in my life, though, I have no logical explanation, and since these experiences, I've become less of a skeptic. I do believe in ghosts, but I'm still skeptical of most of the stories, as many can be explained by natural causes and occurrences. That night, however, that night still can't be explained at all. My story is rather short, but still unsettling for me. I worked for the park rangers for about 5 years before having to quit. The reason I felt like quitting was because of the strange occurrences happening around my workplace. There were odd lights at night and strange bodies found. I won't say where I was working, as I'm scared if I do, something may happen to me. I know that sounds super conspiratorial and paranoid, but that's how I feel after everything. The first time anything weird or out of normal happened was in May of my first year on the job. A strange light was reported from the sky at night around 11-ish. What was stranger was the next day we found a body in the same exact spot as the lights. The body was charred to a crisp, but nothing else around the body was burned at all. We're talking in the middle of the woods where a fire would have broken out easily. Strange as it was, things settled down for like 3 more years after that, before another incident happened. This one was on the anniversary of the first, and again, strange lights had been seen. Then, a burned corpse was left behind. I was weirded out, but still wasn't feeling threatened per se. It wasn't until my final year of working that I felt like I needed to leave the entire situation. I was working late to help out some of my coworkers, and for some overtime. If you've ever worked government work, you'd know, for someone newer and in general, overtime is rare, and you should jump at that chance when you get it. Anyway, I was meandering the parks and helping clean up when I saw something terrifying. It wouldn't have been terrifying under normal circumstances, but considering the strange happenings of the previous years, this freaked me out. It was a light, a very bright light, and it seemed to beam down just over the hill ahead of me. I could see nothing else in the sky, just this beam. I ran toward the top of the hill, and when I crested over it, I looked down to see someone screaming. They were on fire and screaming, but, stranger still, there was no sound. I could clearly see them writhing in pain and screaming, but I couldn't hear a single word from them. I wanted to help this person and ran down the hill as fast as I could. The light vanished and the person's body fully ignited in flames. I'm talking huge flames. The thing is, though, nothing around this person was even slightly burned. It was now. I could hear the screams clearly, and I attempted to put the person out. I radioed to the station for backup and attempted to put this person out. Nothing stopped the flames. No matter what we threw on it or sprayed on it, the flame wouldn't recede. Eventually, it died out on its own after what I would assume was probably a good half hour. During that time period, this person writhed and screamed, but eventually they lay still, the fire continuing to burn until it stopped. The person was dead, obviously, but I remember being so shaken by what I had witnessed that I had quit that night. My department liked me and tried to keep me on, but I refused. I wasn't about to work in that area any longer, much less that job. Soon after this happened, there were reports of men in suits investigating the matter. I got a knock on the door and was asked about what I saw. Outside of that, nothing ever came of it. I told them I had no desire to go back to my job and I was done talking about what I had seen. The guys seemed like normal guys. They showed FBI badges and I have no reason to believe they weren't FBI. Sometimes you hear about men in black and their supposedly strange air, but these guys seemed completely normal. Well, at least they did till the night my house was lit up by a bright light. I wasn't home. Actually, I was pulling into my driveway when it happened. It was the same light I saw burn that person alive. I immediately left the area, and I have since moved far, far away. I don't plan on ever going back to where I lived previously. Why would I, since my house burned to the ground? I feel that the guys who visited me were probably FBI, but whatever burnt those things, the beam of light, I feel it was some sort of government weapon they were testing. You can call me crazy, you can call me paranoid, you can call me whatever, but I'm telling you, I know what I saw, and I'm damn sure I don't trust the government after that. I'm a man and I'm in my 60s. I work in Nevada with the State Park Rangers. Back in the 90s, we had a rush of unexplainable disappearances around our parks. These are things that were kept rather hush, but for which I'd like to share my experiences with you now. The first one was on the outskirts of our park. There was a man driving through the area around 10-ish. A camper reported seeing him and watching his truck stop near the entrance. Thinking nothing of it, he went back about his business. The next day, the truck was still there with no sign of the driver at all. There was no sign of struggle, no sign of anything really. The truck was there and remained abandoned until it was eventually towed away a few weeks later. The driver was never seen or heard from again. No one tried to claim the truck, nothing. A year later, in 91, a woman came to report her son missing. He had been camping in our park and was supposed to be home a few days ago. She knew where he liked to camp, and when he did camp, he took us straight to his site. We found a tent, some extra food, some shoes, the man's clothes, and everything looked relatively mundane, aside from not finding the man, of course. We searched for weeks and never found the man. 6 months later, we had another missing camper. This one was supposedly seen jogging and screaming while naked before not being seen again. The next missing camper didn't occur until 94. This was a group of campers, though. It was a church that had summer camping trips. They had made them every year. Most everyone returned home, but it was noticed and reported that two of the counselors never made it back to the church. They had left with them, but had been following the church bus back in their own vehicle. Somewhere along the way, they lost them, but just figured they'd stop for gas or something and catch up. When they never came back, they were reported to the police, who strangely found their vehicles in our parks, parked and with no sign of the drivers. This was stranger because the churchgoers knew for a fact that they had left with them. It was speculated they went back for something they forgot, but we never had anyone come in looking for anything missing during that time frame, and certainly no one matching the description of said counselors. the last missing person attached to the parks around our area. It happened in 1998. This was a female college student that kept very close contact with her family, who on the last day of her campout, didn't report in with her family. This naturally concerned the family, and while they tried to remain calm and rational about things, it didn't take them very long to contact the local authorities and our parks to report their daughter missing. The young woman's car was found parked in the same spot it had been when she started her camping trip. The area was searched and eventually her belongings and her tent were found abandoned. There was no explanation as to what happened to the woman, or any sign of struggle having been made. Much like the others who went missing during that decade, there seemed to be no sign of anything having gone wrong. It was as though they simply vanished into thin air. Now, normally, with these sorts of things, you'd get some conspiracy going crazy about aliens or something, but there were never any strange objects reported in the area, or bright lights, or any of that during this time frame. At least, nowhere in the area where these people went missing. I'm a matter-of-fact guy, and I like to have hard facts before presenting any real theories. No bodies have been found in regard to the missing, and there's no evidence to suggest anything went wrong. As such, I can't even begin to speculate what happened to these people, and my heart goes out to their families, as they have no answers either. I find these missing person cases rather strange, and while I have no way of knowing if they are linked or what is going on for sure, I hope the families can find closure one day. No matter what happened, no family should ever be without answers when something happens to a loved one. I've seen firsthand how agonizing that is for a family, and I pray for answers to come someday soon. I know there really isn't a lot to go with these missing peoples, but I know there isn't a lot of information to go on with these missing persons, but if you have any thoughts about what might have happened, feel free to speculate. But I ask you to do so respectfully with the thought in mind of how you would feel if you were one of the family members. Anyways, thank you for listening to my story. My name is Jana, and I've been with the park rangers for some time, around 6 years. My experience occurs in the Midwest. I'm not comfortable saying exactly where. About 3 years ago in December, the weather is very cold during the winter, and if you're working out in the wilderness, it can be very dangerous. We have certain people who like to camp despite the cold, and while we don't really recommend it, we still have to search for said people if they disappear. There was a man in his 60s who went missing late November and was reported as such the beginning of December. We had a general idea of where he was going, where he was camping, and we even found his campsite rather quickly. The problem was, things weren't as easy after that. We found wolf tracks and we found blood. We did not, however, find a body or any other sign of the man. At least initially, anyway. The search continued for quite some time until one day, while patrolling, we found a human arm. The arm was being chewed on by a wolf, which then ran off upon being approached. This was rather strange. The testing on the arm did eventually determine that it belonged, unfortunately, to our missing camper. The man had been presumed dead at this point, and the search was already called off. Still feeling horrible for the family, and being the type of person I am, I went off in search of the man's body. I drove back to his campsite and went off in the general direction we had seen the blood originally trailing. I realized this wasn't the wisest move, especially considering that there was quite a bit of snow falling and worse weather expected later on. That said, I felt so bad for his family, and I kept thinking, if it were my family member, I'd want closure and potentially the rest of the body to bury, or at least answers. So I continued my trek until I heard something in the distance. I can't describe the sound other than to say it was loud and like nothing I'd ever heard in my life. It wasn't a wolf. If it had been, it would have had to have been the largest wolf ever known to man. The sound was so deep and unnerving, and the wind had begun to pick up. The snow whipping my face. I debated turning around, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I continued forward, looking for any sign or hint of what had happened to this man, or more specifically, where the rest of him was. It was assumed the wolves have eaten his body or something along those lines. I wanted to find confirmation, though. I needed to find bones or something more for the family. It killed me inside imagining how they felt. I've always been a caring person, and I've always gone well out of my way to help others. It's part of why I love this job so much. I keep stressing this so I can justify to you why I was doing what I did, as I know there are going to be a lot of people who may hear this story who are going to just think I'm stupid for searching for this man, especially knowing he is likely dead. Anyway, I continued my search until I found a cave. Turning on a flashlight I had brought with me, I searched the cave. His remains, or what was left of them, were sitting in the open in the cave. I knew where his remains were, and how to find them, so I was getting ready to head back, to get a better crew, and maybe remove the remains when I heard what sounded like a loud and horrendous screech. I was startled at first, but I got my wits about me fairly quickly and began to head out of the cave. It was then I saw something I can't properly describe. It was massive. I couldn't even see the entire thing in the snow, but what I saw terrified me stiff. I felt an uncontrollable fear take my body and I went limp, crying and praying. I couldn't get my legs to move out of the shock of what I was seeing. Then, I heard that loud sound again. It was then I realized it was coming from this monstrosity. The thing, from what I can tell, has flesh hanging from its bones, and some of it looked human. I wanted to get up, but there was nothing I could do initially. My mind was saying go, but my body wouldn't move. I kept thinking, if I don't move, I'm dead. Then I heard several loud howls and the thing appeared to turn its attention away from me. I snapped back to it and began running with all the might my legs could carry. I ran all the way back toward the direction of my truck. The snow was growing heavier and the wind kept getting stronger. I continued pressing on anyway, and as I did, I thought I could hear the yelping of wolves. It sounded like they were fighting whatever was out there. After what felt like hours, I made it back to my pickup and got in, driving away and back to the station. I explained everything to my supervisor, who understandably chided me before organizing a search crew to head back out and grab the remains. In the end, what was found was several wolves, some of which had been ripped in half, strewn all over the snow. There was a ton of blood in the entrails of many animals as well. There was no sign of the monstrosity I had seen in the wilderness, but I was grateful for that. I felt horrible for the wolves, however, as they were clearly all dead, and if it wasn't for them, I probably would have been dead as well. I've never seen anything so large or terrifying in my life. I mean, I didn't even see the whole fight, but crap, this thing had me shaking in my boots. It was easily the most terrifying and insanely unexplainable thing I've ever witnessed in my life. We were able to recover most of the camper's remains, and the family was able to bury him properly. For that, at least, I am thankful. I'll never get, nor do I wish to, the answers as to what that monstrosity was, but I can't even imagine the horror that camper must have felt. I feel he more than likely ran into this thing, and not the wolves. Anyway, thank you for using my story. Thanks for listening to these creepy, strange, and unexplainable park ranger stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss another park ranger video. I upload park ranger stories that you'll never find anywhere else all the time. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a park ranger story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Thank you guys so much as always for supporting the swamp. Once again, we are getting very close to 150,000 swamp dwellers. That's amazing, and I never thought we'd get here. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcast platform out there. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. And if you made it all the way to the end of this video, let me know by commenting Flying Ranger. It'll also confuse people who don't make it to the end, and that's always fun. Thank you guys, as always. Tally-ho.